You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Seattle Mariners. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, and I'm joined by Greg Johns, who covers the Mariners for MLB.com. Greg, the Mariners did a little bit of selling off. I don't know if you'd call it wholesale selling off. Was this an indication that they are looking to next year, or was it just part of Jack Cerincic and Lloyd McClendon want to, you know, look at some new guys because it was the mix they had wasn't working?
Yeah, it's obviously the 10 games under at the trade deadline. It's no question that this season hasn't gone how they had hoped, and they had some assets they saw they could move for some future pieces. So I think it's no question. It's trying to get stronger in the future and bring in some prospects. But they also tried to help themselves a little for the now, and they did bring in a couple guys, a couple relievers that are on the roster now, and they like this outfielder Ramon Flores they got from the Yankees in the Dustin Ackley swap. They think he could be a guy that helps them here, but he's in AAA right now. So there's no question. I mean, you can't couch it any other way than things have not gone the way they went, and dealing Mark Lowe, I think, pretty significant sign that they need to pick up pieces for the future. Mark's going to be a free agent, and certainly they like the haul they got back from the Blue Jays, three left-hand pitchers, three youngsters that they think can help down the road, and Lowe's going to be a free agent. Who knows, maybe he'll end up back in Seattle next year as a guy that has a home in Vancouver, Washington, and likes the area, and that's why he signed with Seattle in the first place. So, I don't think there's any question that this year's not gone the way they wanted. They got to the trade deadline and said, hey, let's see what we can do to help ourselves.
And one of the pieces of good news, it looks like, here recently, is that this kid, Ketel Marte, I guess is he the ninth different leadoff guy that McClendon has tried? And it looks like maybe they found a guy.
He would be the 10th leadoff hitter this year, and that includes
only 10,
a couple
okay.
guys. Just 10, yeah. No question, Lloyd's been looking for that piece, and to the point where he had Logan Morrison leading off quite a bit. And Logan's obviously not your classic leadoff guy, but just a guy they thought could get on base and maybe help him some there. And they tried Seth Smith there, another on-base kind of guy, not really a classic leadoff hitter. Austin Jackson probably the closest thing they have to a real leadoff hitter, and they like him down the lineup some more, too. So Ketel Marte, they brought up, and this kid does look like a leadoff hitter. He's a switch hitter, kind of guy that keeps the ball in play, can run, can steal some bases. And yesterday, he's been up three games. Yesterday, he looked like the real deal. Got on base four times. He's 3-for-4, a couple infield hits, showed his speed. 11th inning, when he needed it, walked. The wild pitch got in front of Suzuki, the Twins catcher, and Marte took second on it, and they got in scoring position, scored the go-ahead run and an 11th inning win. So that's the kind of spark they need. There's no doubt they're looking for that guy, and he's a 21-year-old kid that they've liked coming up. The interesting thing, I guess, is where they're going to fit him. He's kind of a second baseman, they feel, naturally, and they got that guy named Cano that's pretty well fit there. So they've had him playing a little center field down in Tacoma before they brought him up, and I think we're going to see that here fairly soon, get him some center field action. He can play some shortstop as well. So, but definitely looks like the kind of guy they could use at the top of the lineup.
And, Greg, the last 2 weeks we've seen the real Robinson Cano. He's been crazy hot. How did this happen? Is he willing to talk about what adjustments he made, or do you think he just calmed down and became who he was supposed to be?
And more of the latter, and unfortunately, right about when he started getting hot, he strained a muscle in his abdomen, so and he had to sit out 3 days and came back. He still hasn't played second base yet, as we speak here, going into the Rockies series on Monday. So they need to get him back out in the field. But he was swinging it, as you mentioned, real good. Then they pulled a muscle, it strained a muscle in his stomach, so that's kind of slowed him down a little bit. But They need to get him back where he was, and Cruz hitting the heck out of the ball again here he's been red hot. That is the key to this team. There's no question offensively, and why he settled in now. I think they just keep saying he's a better hitter than he was his first couple months, and why those first couple months happened, I don't know, but he's get back up, and he has been red hot, and good to see.
Greg, King Felix, I just saw this stat. He's 4-0 with a 0.51 ERA in five starts this year after he's lost the previous start. And I guess that kind of number doesn't surprise you because you know the tenacity of the guy. But I guess my question is, when you have high expectations, how has Robinson Cano, how has Felix, how have they taken it? How are they dealing with it, you know, being the guys that others look to in a tough season?
Well, I mean, they're frustrated. I don't think there's any doubt. But they've kept, from my perspective, they've kept a very positive outlook. Nelson Cruz, one of the more pleasant guys I've been around in the clubhouse. Those guys have maintained a steady, even keel to the point where you think, wow, you know, do they not go behind the scenes and bash the wall once in a while? But they're just positive guys. Felix is, you know, he's been the leader of this team for a long time. He always says he believes. He always says he loves Seattle. This is where he wants to be, and he just keeps doing it. And you just want to see the guy get in the playoffs, you know, and see what he can do. And you feel for a guy that's been as good as he's been for 11 years and not tasted that postseason. And I think that's one of the reasons everybody in the Mariner organization would love to see this team, one of the many reasons, obviously, but would love to see Felix get the chance that he deserves. And Cano, obviously, a guy that's been there, and Cruz, too. Those guys just want to get back in the postseason, and they do know what it takes. And they are working with the young guys, trying to get them to see that. But over the course of a tough season, I think, when you get to this point, you just kind of dig in and try to be a professional and play the best you can every day, and that's what you're seeing. Those guys, they're playing well. They're showing, hey, that we may be in August, the thing's not looking good, but we're going to go out there and keep playing every day, and that's kind of what you see from those professionals. Cruz, Cano, and Hernandez, the guys, that they just keep competing. They just keep doing it, and I think there's a lot to be said for that.
You and I have talked a lot about Taijuan Walker, and he's coming off a game. That was as good a game as you can pitch. I went back and looked at the highlights. One walk, 11 strikeouts, and 101 pitch complete game. It's just sort of amazing. What was different about that game? And do you feel like, and do the Mariners feel like, is that a game you can build off of?
You sure hope so. The difference, Richard, I think, was his curveball. He went to his curve early and often. He's watched. He's a smart kid. You know, they're working with him, and he said, hey, teams are starting to sit on my fastball. I got to change things up. And he came out through some off-speed stuff, and not only threw it, but threw it for strikes. So you get ahead on it. You know, the guy's sitting on a fastball, and they see a curve flop in there, and you're down 0-1, and now you got a guy that can hit you with a couple different things. One of them's a 97 per hour fastball, and he's locating better. This guy, if you look at his strikeout and walk numbers over the last 12, 15 starts, pretty amazing. I mean, he's only had a handful of walks over his last dozen starts, and that's pretty amazing for a guy with that kind of velocity. So his command, but I do think teams started, if you throw hard, but you're always throwing strikes, these are professional hitters, they can sit on that. But you start mixing in some off-speed stuff and effective off-speed stuff, and you get a night like you had with Taijuan Walker. And he is a special kid. He's a special talent. I don't think there's any doubt that those kind of glimpses is what you definitely can see in the future with Taijuan Walker. And that's one of the many exciting things that this franchise has looked forward to is getting a Taijuan Walker at the top of his game. The kid's 22 years old. He's got a very bright future.
Yeah, and so does Mike Montgomery. And I would say, winning is a process sometimes, and it doesn't happen as quickly as any of us would like or the Mariners would like. But I would say, like where they are today, they're in a pretty good spot. You know, they've got money to spend. They've got a core of young pitching, and they've got two superstars. How many teams have two superstars? And so, anyway, we'll see how it plays out the rest of the year and where we go from there. Appreciate your time as always, Greg. Thank you.
Okay, Richard, good talking to you.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.